Wow. It's nice to preach to a room full of people. I have not done that. And it has been very, very strange over the last several weeks. If you've been joining with us online, there has not been hardly anybody here. I mean, just a few of us, Gary and the crew here, have been helping us with singing. And then we've had our video crew and those kind of things, making sure all of that happens. But this has just been kind of strange. It's strange for me. And I just want you to know, I'm really glad you're here. Thank you for coming. I know that there's some other places you might could be, but you've come here to be a part of this place, and I'm just so, so thankful for that. Today, we're going to wrap up our series called How You Doing? How You Doing? And if you've been with us online, you know that for the last several weeks, that's the question that we have been asking, how are you doing? And what we've been doing is focusing in on some of the emotions and some of the feelings that we've been experiencing during this whole COVID-19 thing, all kinds of things that we've experienced and the emotions along that. And what we've been doing is we have been focusing in on being emotionally healthy through all of this, being emotionally healthy through this. And that's very, very important. We've talked about things like fear. We've talked about things like anxiety. We talked about grief because a lot of us have lost a lot of things during the last several weeks. Last week we talked about sadness, and there's just a whole host of feelings and emotions and things that we've been experiencing over the last several weeks. And so what we've been doing is we have been opening up God's Word together, and we have been discovering what He says about some of these things so that we can either become emotionally healthy if we need to, or we can stay emotionally healthy because, and I've said this just about every week during this series, being emotionally healthy makes your life better, and it makes you better at life. And so hopefully over the last several weeks as we've been in this series, you've been able to experience that. Now today we're going to finish this thing up, and we're going to talk about being tired. We're going to be talking about being weary. And I know what you're thinking. It's only 11:15. I should not be tired. I should not be weary. But let's be real honest. We're tired of this thing. In fact, just to get the ball rolling, how many of you raise your hand and you say, this whole pandemic, COVID-19 thing is for the birds. I am exhausted about this. Yeah, isn't that true? We're just tired. We're just exhausted about talking about all of this. And so when we talk about being tired and we talk about, you know, the feelings of emotion, there's a sense in which this isn't really a feeling. This isn't really an emotion. But studies suggest that it really, being tired and being anxious is really the gateway to some other things that we want to stay clear from, some other emotions and feelings that we want to be free from. And studies suggest this, that the more tired you are, that the more exhausted you are more open to experiencing things like depression, anxiety, irritability, which means that when you're tired and you're exhausted, it sort of, again, opens the gateway for you to feel all kinds of emotions that many of us are dealing with. And so this whole pandemic thing has been exhausting, and we feel it, don't we? I mean, we feel tired, and we're tired. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of using the word pandemic. I'm really sick and tired of the social distancing phrase. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of COVID-19. I'm tired of saying the word virus. I'm tired of saying the word quarantine. It's fatiguing. There is sheltering in place fatigue. There's compliance fatigue. There's the wearing of the mask fatigue. I mean, this whole thing has just been exhausting. And I'll tell you something about Meredith's husband. Meredith's husband, when he gets tired, he gets really frustrated very easily. And something else about Meredith's husband is he becomes very, very impatient. And usually he is the quickest to become impatient with the people that he loves the most. And when he's tired, she'll say, okay, are you okay? I mean, maybe you need to go rest because we got this. You just need to go rest. Because you know this, that when you're tired, you're easily frustrated. When you're tired, you become impatient. When you're tired, you get a little cranky, and you get a little irritable. Now, Jesus actually asked this question one time to a group, and I think he was looking out of their faces, and he was like, Man, they look really tired. They look exhausted. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he asks this question, and he says it in a way that this is the Message paraphrase, which sort of paraphrases the way that he would say this. Jesus asked this. He said, "Are you tired?" And for us, we are. Like, I mean, we can feel it, this COVID-19, we feel it. We're tired, we're exhausted. Jesus asked this crowd, he said, "You guys tired? Exhausted? You're worn out?" Now, no need to raise your hand because I know how you would answer that. Yeah, I'm exhausted, I'm tired of this whole thing, especially when I call and check on you. And I know when the deacons call and check on you. Lately, when I call and say, "Hey, how you doing?" Here's been the response from most people. "Oh, I'm doing good. I'm just ready for this to be over. Like, I'm tired. I'm ready for life to get back to normal." And I think in Lubbock, we pretty much decided that we're done with this whole COVID-19 thing, haven't we? I mean, we've just decided that it's over with. We're done with things. We're done with quarantine. We're done with eating at home. And we're done with wearing masks. We're just done. And a big part of it, I think, is because, you know, before the pandemic, we were just on the go, and life was very fast-paced, and we were doing things and out there and going places and being with family. And, you know, for us and for many of us, life was busy, and it was go, 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 and you had to be somewhere, and you had to go somewhere. And then this pandemic thing hit, and everything about our life just stopped. For some of us, it's been really great, because we've been able to slow down and rest and be together with family and reconnect with the people in our house. Maybe for you, being cooped up with your family wasn't all that great because they were family. I get that. But for the most part, it reminded me about the need to just sort of slow down. And it reminded me really of the pace that we'd been living. Maybe you've been reminded of that too. Let me show you what I mean. Just raise your hand if any of these are true for you. Just raise your hand. We're all family, so no reason to be embarrassed. And I want you to listen to these questions because I think they'll sort of give sort of an idea about the pace that life has sort of been living for us before the pandemic. How many of you have ever cut through a gas station to avoid stopping at a stoplight? Raise your hand. All right, second question. How many of you have ever lied about cutting through a gas station to avoid stopping at a red light? Second question. How many of you look at your phone for no apparent reason? Like, you just feel like, I got to have something to do, so I'm just going to pick up my phone and just look at it for no apparent reason. How many of you switch lines because you think the one you're in is too slow? Yeah. Next question. How many of you believe God makes whatever line you're in the slowest? Yeah, like, isn't it true? You don't know a lot about God, but you do know that He picks the line that I'm in to be the slowest. So we're living at this pace, and then for the most part, just stopped. We were going, we were rushing, we were having to be places, and I know for me, it was just very, very hectic, and then everything just stopped, and now life is beginning to pick up speed again and beginning to return back to normal. And if we're not careful, this pace, this thing that we've been living at this speed, is something we really need to keep an eye on. Why? Because it's exhausting, and it will lead you to being tired. And when you're tired, you're so much more open to other things like depression and anxiety. Some other things. Now, in this series, what we've been doing is we've been looking at some of the things that David wrote in his life. And if you've been with us, we've been talking about David, who is this great warrior. He's this mighty king. But he is an emotional dude. And he was not afraid to take whatever it is he was feeling and talk to the people around him. And most importantly, talk to God. And over the last several weeks, we've been walking with David as he sort of processed the emotions that he was experiencing. And we've discovered that the things that David felt, the emotions that he experienced, are things that almost all of us can identify with. And in these Psalms, we don't see David saying, okay, here's five things you need to do. Here's the to-do list that you need in order to make sure you handle these feelings correctly. We don't see that. Instead, what we see is that David comes before, openly before the Lord, and he's willing to express and to share. We get insights into his life about what he was feeling and how he handled it. Now, this morning, if you have a Bible, we're going to be in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, it's probably a new one to you. Psalm 23, the most famous of all the Psalms. And as we walk through this passage, and again, just for the sake of time, we're only going to hit the first verse, maybe second if we have that time. But I want you to see who God is in this. And I want you to see what he does for the person who is worn out and tired and weak and exhausted. Here's what David writes. Verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Maybe your translation says, "I shall not be in want." Verse 2, he continues, "He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes or restores my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will what? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Bible scholars don't exactly know when in David's life he wrote this psalm. There are some who would suggest that David was a young shepherd boy attending his father's sheep. Some say he wrote it then. There are others who say that David probably wrote this when he was a little bit older. In fact, when he was the king and he was dealing with the civil war between himself and his kingdom and his son Absalom, who rebelled against him. So we don't really know the background to this psalm of what was going on in David's life and the circumstances surrounding it. But what's interesting is David saw himself as in need of a shepherd, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So let me ask you this. This isn't rocket science. If the Lord was David's shepherd, what did that make David? If the Lord is our shepherd, what does that make us? Sheep. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "You're a sheep, and you need a shepherd. You're a sheep." Come on, everybody, pay attention. You're a sheep, and you need a shepherd. Now, if you think that's an exciting thing to be called, you have something else coming, because sheep are not the most flattering or impressive animals, because sheep are constantly dependent upon their shepherd. Did you know that sheep have no sense of direction? That they don't even know where they're going. Even when they're in their own territory, they have no idea which way to go. They're defenseless. You know, most animals will have some sort of a defense system. They'll have like sharp teeth or claws or a speed or, you know, the ability to hide. Maybe they'll have a keen sense of sight or smell or hearing, this defense system. Maybe their strength is great. A sheep has none of that. A sheep is awkward. A sheep is weak. A sheep is very ignorant. A sheep, bless its heart, it's so slow, it's pitiful. It's absolutely defenseless. Sheep are easily frightened. They're unclean. Sheep are so dumb, they can't even find their own food and water. Why do I say all that? Because the sheep is completely dependent upon the shepherd. And that's what David is saying. David is saying that the Lord is my shepherd. I am completely dependent upon him. We all are. All of us are dependent upon God. What happens is our awareness of that dependence changes according to what's going on in our life. Here's the problem between the Lord being our shepherd and us being sheep. Oftentimes we confuse that relationship and we start to live like we're the shepherd instead of the sheep. We live, and isn't this true? We live as if it all depends upon us I've got to take care of myself. I have to provide for myself. I have to protect myself. I've got to make things happen. And what we do is we live like shepherds instead of like sheep. And then it puts a lot of pressure on us that we were never intended to carry. And when you do that for very long, guess what, folks? You get tired and you become exhausted. And I think, just spitballing here, I think that's what's happened for us as a community and for us really as a nation. Before the pandemic, we were going at this pace and we didn't take time to rest. We didn't even notice the pace that we were going until we were forced to stop. We were just living this pace. We were doing what everybody else was doing. We didn't spend time at home. We didn't spend our evenings at home. We missed church. We'd come maybe once a month because, you know, kids had this or we had these plans. And so we just didn't have any time. No wonder we're tired. No wonder we're exhausted. But right off the bat, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. I'm the sheep. And I'm dependent upon God to take care of me and provide for me. And God, I'm trusting you to protect me and to care for me. It's interesting what David says when he uses the word shepherd in the Hebrew language. It's actually a compound word. In other words, what David is saying is not that he's just my shepherd, but that he is my, two words, shepherd companion. What David is saying is that the Lord is my personal shepherd. David never saw himself as a sheep amongst a big herd, that he's there with all the other sheep and, you know, he knows the shepherd, but the shepherd may not know him because, you know, I look around, there's just a bunch of other sheep and the shepherd doesn't know my needs or what I'm concerned with or what's bothering me. David says, no, the Lord is my shepherd companion. He knows me. He knows what I need. He knows what I'm going through. He sees me. And because of that, David goes on and he says, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Isn't it true that the reason that many of you have a hard time resting is because you feel like you lack something? You have a hard time resting and relaxing because you feel like you're lacking something, and if we could just have what we lacked, then I'd be able to rest. If I had what I needed, if I could get what I needed, if I knew that this need was taken care of, if this desire was satisfied, then I would be able to rest. But I'm not able to rest because I'm lacking some things. So we think that what we lack keeps us from resting. Let me ask you, what comes to your mind when you think of what you lack? What is that for you? What is it in your life that is keeping you from resting and relaxing because you feel like, I need this? I made a list for you. Social media list, by the way. What you're lacking is a better body. Isn't that what you think you're lacking? A better body. I need a better body. And so, you know, if you'll just take this pill, if you follow this exercise plan, if you do this Pilates program, you will have the kind of body you want. Blemish-free skin. Actually, you know what you need to do? Learn how to edit a photo, because that's exactly what they do. Maybe it's style you're lacking. Maybe it's energy you're lacking. Maybe it's an invitation you're lacking. Maybe it's tickets to a football game. Maybe it's followers or friends. I mean, we're just always being reminded of what we lack. And when we don't have what we think we need, it keeps us from being able to rest. And we have this angst of, if I just had, if I could just get, if I could just have this need met, then I would be at rest. And we work hard, and we work hard, and we work hard, and we get what we think we need, and we discover that lack is a moving target. And there's something else that we now need. And so we go to work to get it. David says, no, 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 the Lord is my shepherd. And when I have that relationship right, and I understand that he's the shepherd and I'm the sheep, I understand, David says, I don't lack anything because God has taken care of my deepest needs. Notice he goes on real quickly. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. You know what it sounds like? It almost sounds like, watch this, just forgive this for a second. It almost sounds like God pushed it. Because you notice David doesn't say that the Lord invites me beside quiet waters. It doesn't say that the Lord encourages me. The way this is written is that the Lord makes me lie down. It's almost as if he pushes me and I'm in the grass. Now listen, there is a sense in which that's true. Because if you're living and you keep going at this fast pace, the way that God has designed life is you either will lie down or life will just knock you down. And I think, maybe again, just spitballing here, I just wonder if this pandemic thing was a way for God to sort of push us down and say, look, we need to slow down, we need to slow down, we need to shut things down so that we can be reminded of what's important. So that we can be reminded of who and what deserves our attention. Now, here's something you may not know, and I didn't know this until I researched it because I'm not a shepherd. But shepherds really will make sheep lie down. Here's what happens. Again, sheep are so stupid. They will eat and eat and eat and eat, and they don't know to stop eating. And they will just keep eating and eating and eating, and they'll never take the time to just slow down and let the food digest. And so they eat and they eat and they eat, and actually it's called sheep bloat. Sheep bloat. And the idea is they eat and they eat and they eat, and the shepherd has to come over and make sure that the sheep will stop eating and make sure that he lies down. Because it's very, very dangerous if they have sheep bloat. And for many of us, you know what we've been doing before the pandemic? We were adding, and we were adding, and we were consuming, and we were consuming. And if you're like me, you even listen to this message, and it's like, okay, you're out of time. Tell me what to do. Like you're out of time. Tell me what to do. Give me some things to do so I won't be tired and busy. But I think what David is saying in the psalm is this, that when it comes to rest, listen, when it comes to rest, it's not about something else to do. Because resting isn't about doing anything. Resting is about being. Resting isn't about a to-do. Resting is about to be. Let me ask you this. What does that look like for you? What does it look like in your world to just get away and just rest? And not take your phone with you, but just get away and rest. So, okay, David, you should say, I need to take some time. I need to rest. I need to just be. What do I do when I'm not doing anything? Okay, if I'm going to rest, what does that look like? Well, here's three simple questions you can ask yourself to see if your resting is indeed rest. Three questions. You ready? Number one, does it replenish me physically? In my rest time, is it replenishing me physically? Does it replenish me physically? Secondly, does it restore me emotionally? Is this resting time restoring me emotionally? Is it replenishing me physically? Is it restoring me emotionally? And finally, does it renew me spiritually? Does it renew me spiritually? Now, some of you hear me say that, and at the end of this sermon, you're going to come up and you're going to say, okay, so I can play more video games. Is that what you're saying? Because that for me would be rest. Okay, let me ask you. Is it replenishing you physically? Is it renewing you, restoring you emotionally? Is it renewing you spiritually? Okay, so I need to go and I need to watch Netflix. Well, I don't know about you, but I finished Netflix during the quarantine. What you have to do is you have to step back away and ask yourself the question, is that renewing me physically? Is it restoring me? Is it replenishing me physically? Is it restoring me emotionally? Is it renewing me spiritually? See, I can't answer that for you. Only you can do that. But those are some things you can ask about your rest. Now, Let me give you a little tip to try this week, okay? Just something that I think might be helpful for you. This week, maybe even starting this afternoon or tonight, when you take your phone and you put it on the charger, you plug it in to charge your phone, why don't you ask yourself this? Have I done that? Have I done that? In other words, have I taken the time to replenish myself? Have I taken the time to be renewed emotionally and spiritually? Have I taken the time to do that? Now look, this whole pandemic thing, look, I get it. I'm just as tired and exhausted as you are. I know you're fatigued, but what an incredible opportunity we have as life begins to pick up and the pace begins to go faster. What an incredible opportunity we have to take some time to be renewed and restored emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Things are getting back to normal. It's true. The pace is beginning to pick back up. And please don't misunderstand. The point of this message isn't to make you feel guilty. It isn't in any way to add more pressure to you and say, you ought to be doing all of these things. No. It's just a reminder that when you're tired and when you're exhausted, Jesus invites you to come and do life with Him. Because here's what happens. When you go and you do life with Jesus, do you know what you discover? You discover that what you have been lacking is Him. When you get away and you're tired and you're exhausted and you think, you know, all of that chasing after all of these things is what you lack, you discover what Jesus would say, all these other things, what you're really lacking is Me. And Jesus says, when you come to Me, you will find what you are lacking and you will find rest for your souls. This morning, I want to kickstart this for you, if I might. Here's how we're going to do that. I'm going to ask you to just bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. We're almost done. And with your eyes closed and with your head bowed, just sitting in quietness for just a moment, I just want you to imagine that Jesus is here and He is saying to you this morning, are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you worn out? If you'd respond to Jesus by saying, yes, I am all of those things. I'm not even sure why necessarily, but I'm tired and I'm exhausted. If that's you this morning, would you be willing to receive His invitation when He says, come to Me, all who are weary, all who are tired, all who are heavy burdened, come to Me, and I will give you rest. In other words, come to Me, get away with Me, and rediscover your life. For some of you, maybe the first step is to embrace Jesus as your Savior. Maybe there's never been a time in your life where you have recognized your need of a Savior, that your sin separates you from God, and God and His incredible love for you sent His Son Jesus, who died in your place so that you could have a relationship with Him. And maybe there has never been a time in your life where you've done that. We, this morning, want to give you an opportunity to do that. And if that's you this morning, would you do us a favor? As soon as the service is over, right across the hall is a connection center. Would you just meet us there? And we can talk in private about who Jesus is and the invitation that He offers to you. For most of you here, I imagine that you've already embraced Jesus as your Savior. But honestly, you're missing that close relationship with Him. you have been living and maybe realizing every day that you lack something and you can't quite put your finger on it. You're not sure what it is, but you know that something is missing. Maybe today Jesus is telling you it's Him. Jesus would say to you, it's me you're missing. And if you'll take the time to get away and spend time with me, Jesus says you'll discover that in your relationship with me, I will replenish you physically, restore you emotionally, and I can renew you spiritually. Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For just a moment, would you ask the Lord to do that for you? Our Lord, our Shepherd, would you help us in these next few moments to respond to that invitation, to the invitation that you have offered, that we would come to you. Even though we're weary, even though we're worn out and tired, that we would come to you and you would give us life and peace and strength, that you would renew us emotionally and spiritually. That in coming to you, we would find in you what we've been lacking. And Father God, I know that for many people who are listening to this, they're like me. They know the truth of what Jesus offers and what life is like with Him. But Father, we just pursue so many other things that we think will make us happy. Remind us today that happiness and peace is found only in you and you alone. So I pray, Jesus, that you would help us to trust you enough to live this out in the weeks to come. We're going to need you with that. And Father, I just thank you that in you we have all that we need. For it is in Jesus' amazing name that we pray. Amen and amen.